Hi, my name is Kaynette. I'm a compulsive overeater. I have been abstinent from my trigger foods, alcoholic foods, since December of 2019. I got on a food plan that is by another 12-step program that I am on since September of 2020. And I have, at this current moment, have lost over 110 pounds since December of 2019. Well, from December 2019 to May of 2021, I've lost 110 pounds, and I've been able to keep it off since 2021. When I first came to program, I was just at a bad, bad state, lowest of the low. I know a lot of people can relate to it. I was up to 279 pounds. I would binge in secret. I would like come home from work, stop at a gas station and just grab a bunch of stuff and eat it within 5 minutes before I got home. It was to the point where I couldn't even taste the food anymore because it was just stuffing it in my mouth. And I used to hide food in my car, eat late at night. Got really bad. I mean, I ate openly to where my coworkers would just watch me just pig out pretty much. But I knew I had a problem, but I never openly admitted that I had a problem and I had a food addiction until I started the steps. So October 2019 was my very first meeting, and I was hooked immediately. At least by second meeting. The first meeting, I was like, what is going on here? But as I start hearing people share, I definitely related. And I just been in program ever since. It was interesting because I was ready by meeting two to get a sponsor. I'm like, okay, what do I need to do to get started here? And it was recommended to me to go to six meetings before I start buying the books and making sure that it's for me. And I did that. And so what I wanted to share real quickly here is how I work the steps with my abstinence and how I work them today. I'm not perfect. I am very incons I can be very inconsistent with the tools of recovery, but I have been able to maintain back-to-back abstinence since December 2019 from my trigger foods. So one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. I am married with two kids, and life seems, I mean, I have a decent marriage. My kids are okay, typical, but they're okay. I have no issues at home. I have, a decent job that I enjoyed. So I didn't really think that my life was unmanageable, But once I started in that aspect, but when it came to the food, it was terrible to where I was very sluggish all the time. I slept a lot. Then I would do the bare minimum at work, even though I loved my job. I am an occupational therapy assistant, and I have to be very creative on my feet. And I just lost all of that. I wasn't very interactive with people, especially my family. The kids would bother me if they wanted to play or something like that. I would get upset with them because I didn't have the energy to play and everything. And so, I didn't think that my life was unmanageable at first, but after I started working the steps, I saw that I was barely getting by. But I was also very depressed in my own way. Like I said, my household was okay, but I was very depressed and hopeless and worthless. I just was miserable, especially after I would binge. I keep telling myself, I'm not going to do it again. This will be my last time, and then I'll go back on a binge. And it made me feel horrible each and every time. But I finally, when I got in the rooms, admitted that I was powerless over food, and my life was unmanageable. And it was interesting because when I got into the rooms, and I figured out, okay, this is a disease and I have a food addiction, that kind of gave me an excuse. So from October to December, my binging got worse because I felt like All right, I admitted I have a problem over food. Now I have an excuse to eat what I want to eat. And it just got so much worse. But then when I finally, you know, really came to the realization and stopped denying and being in rationalizing things and really truly admitted and surrendered that I was powerless over food, I remember that December 27th of 2019 when I told myself, enough is enough. I got to make a change here, and I got to do it. And that comes into came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And so doing this in my own will is no good. I've tried. I've always told myself, hey, I'm going to do it, start it on Monday. Or, you know, I've tried the laxatives, the different diets, you know. I even did this thing where it was like a clay you put on your belly, and you wrap it around with some Ram Wrap and Ace Wrap to try to lose belly fat. You know, I was trying to do this, lose the weight and change my life on my own. But I had to realize that there's a power greater than me. There's a power greater than me, my HP, who I call God, that had to restore me to sanity, because all the stuff that I was doing with food, it was insane. Just like in the big book where it talked about the jaywalker. Kept getting in the road, even though he told himself, I'm not going to do it anymore. You know, he kept getting back on the road and hurting himself more and more and more. That's kind of how I was, you know. Like, and to this day, you know, like I still struggle with trying to do it in my own will. And my self-reliance fails me each and every time. So I had to realize that my HP is greater than me and can restore me to sanity. And step three was the hardest one for me. I'm a religious person, and I already had my HP established, so I thought, but made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And it was so hard for me to do because, once again, my will is best, and so I thought. And to turn that over to my higher power and making that decision, I have to remember that it is a decision that you turn your will in life. And it's a decision for me, at least for me, that I have to do on a regular basis. It's not a one-and-done step for me, you know. But when I did that, things started opening up and my eyes starting to open up. And then four and five, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves, and admitted to God and to ourselves and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Those two were the most scariest, you know, because this is where the action and recovery starts. You know, I did my searching and fearless moral inventory. I did it in a couple different ways. I did it with my old sponsor, Big Book Style, and then I used the OA Work 12 and 12 workbook and did it that way as well. And so I was very honest. I took my time, but at the same time, in the OA 12 and 12 tells you, do not procrastinate, do not wait, just do it. And that's what I did. And then I did, you know, an exercise that my sponsor gave me when it says to God, to ourselves, and to another human being is look in the mirror, read off your fourth step in the mirror, so you're talking to yourself and to God at the same time. And I liked doing that because it prepared me to where I heard all the details of my inventory and heard myself say it, and it prepared me to where I needed to admit it. I used my sponsor at that time to her, and it helped a lot. And then six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. I still struggle with this one to this day. I do have my sponsor, another idea was on the index card. On one side, you put your character defect. On the other side, you put what would God have me to be, or the opposite. And then in the middle, kind of write an example of what it would look like if you were not in your defect. I use religious sayings on my index cards, and I like to pull those out and read them. And that ties into seven, humbly ask God, him, to remove our shortcomings. So asking our higher power, you know, so I'll use those cards and pray over them, but I have to ask God to remove them. I don't remove those defects. That's the hardest part for me, is trying to remove the defects. Now, I have to remember this is action steps. I have to do my part. That's where the willingness and the ability comes in. A big word for me in my program is willingness. And I struggle because sometimes I'm not willing to let things go. But I have to be willing to let my higher power, who I call God, remove my defects, not me, my shortcomings. And then 8 and 9 made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing. There's willing to make amends to them all, and made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. These two also was a very scary step because I had to call people and apologize for the things I've done. I had to settle a financial matter. And it was very interesting because I was preparing myself for the worst. But when I will call people and ask for forgiveness, people handled it well for me. It doesn't work like that for everyone, but in my recovery, it worked out. I didn't have anybody backlash against me, and I was very, very grateful for that, with those amends. And yeah, it was scary, but I was able to get through it. And I had to remember, I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for me to clean my side of the street up. I had to remember to keep my amends simple, to where I don't go and elaborate. I know a lot of us, we or for me, we like to say, "Well, I am sorry for this, but I did this because you did this." And I made sure I didn't do that. I just said, "Hey, I did this to you and I apologize," and left it like that. And then 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, promptly admitted it. I use the OA Toolkit app, and they have spot check inventories on there. I don't do it as much as I should, but I am starting to do that a little bit more, for my step 10. And then I also do what they call a 10-step turnaround, where it's a little bit more detailed. Like if I do a resentment one, why would it affect? Was I selfish, dishonest, things like that? What would God have me to be? That kind of thing. And so I try to do that when I got something going on. My hardest part is promptly admitted it. When we were wrong, promptly admitted it. My pride is something else. I am very prideful. I didn't think I had an issue with pride, but I am. I don't like to admit when I'm wrong. And I don't like to admit, like I said, I don't like to come out with it. And I can't even look at people in the eye when I've done something wrong sometimes, and have to admit it. It's just like with step one, I would sit there and binge, and people would watch me, at least my coworkers, and I would never say anything because admission, And then 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. So prayer and meditation, what I've been doing, I have a two-way prayer partner. And prayer is talking to your HP, and meditation is listening to your HP. So I love the two-way prayer. And the biggest thing that my HP has been speaking to me about is His will for us, but His will for me. And I have to follow His will and do His will and not my own will, because I think what my will is best. I'll give it over and surrender it to my higher power. Then I end up taking it back because I'm very impatient, which is a character defect of mine. And I feel like if I take it back, I can fix it. But of course, it doesn't work because in my own strength, I can do nothing. And so I have to really seek His will in all things, let Thy will be done, in our step 3 prayer, I believe. Yeah. And so I, prayer and meditation is hard because I have to try to make time, especially in the mornings. I like to try to do it in the mornings to get my day started. Another thing that I like to try to do is On Awakening in the Big Book, kind of read that to start my day off. And then 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. When I reached my 100-pound weight loss, I lost 98 pounds, and my coworkers were saying, "You have 3 weeks to get to 100 pounds," because they threw me a luncheon. And so I hit the 100 pounds. They threw me a luncheon. They made all abstinent foods that I could eat. And once we got to sitting down, because like I work at a small hospital, so everyone got to watch me lose the weight, but not
Five
only lose
minutes.
the weight. Thank you. Not only lose the weight, but my whole demeanor changing. this program gave me a spiritual experience. So I changed. I used to be very grumpy, mean, and I wasn't like that anymore. So at my luncheon, you know, the coworkers were like, speech, speech, speech. How did you do it? And I never told anybody about OA. And it was that moment where I told them about the 12 steps in OA. And people were intrigued. Some had questions. Some was just like, But that was my start of my step 12, of being willing to tell other people when they asked me, how did you do it? You know, because it's a spiritual matter. You know, this program is a spiritual solution with a physical problem. And so, and of course, my step 12 is sponsoring. You know, I've been a sponsor, and I love helping people through the steps. I'm actually going through the steps again myself using a different format. But I try to be of service. I was in my inner group secretary for a while. I kind of do Zoom hosts to try to give back to the program. And I'm just living one day at a time, you know. I struggle still with, I had to add with my, what is it, green light, yellow light, red light list. And I've had to change it throughout the time. I had to add something onto the red light food because it was becoming a problem. But I am very thankful for OA because it's the only thing that works. And I think the reason why for me OA worked, other than the diets and the laxatives and everything like that, because I surrendered it over, and I stopped trying to do it myself. And because I thought, you know, my higher power, I can go to him about everything else except for the food. I thought that the food was something that I had to do on my own. And once I realized that my higher power, who I call God, cared about all of me, and not just some of me, and especially the food, because of the addiction and how much it controlled my life, that's when recovery came. And so this is Kaynette. My phone number is 419-490-1548. And I will pass. Thank you.